1 John chapter number 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby we know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I think the church ought to say amen right there. Amen. Aren't you glad this morning that he's greater in us than he that's in the world? I mean, that right there in itself is a blessing this morning. To know that if we've been born again, he that resides in our heart is greater than what this world has to offer. That would preach this morning. Notice what he says in verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth hearts. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his own Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he hath loveth not his brother whom he hath seen. How can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment we have heard, commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Now, I know what many of you are sitting here thinking this morning. You say, preacher, it's Valentine's Day. What a better time to preach a message on love. And I can agree with you this morning. There are preachers that are mounting this pulpit all across America entitled preaching out of this same chapter this morning. I can promise you that this morning. There are preachers that are dealing with the history of Valentine's Day. There are preachers dealing with loving one another. And there are people this morning that are sitting in this sound of my voice that are automatically thinking, the preacher is going to deal with love this morning. You're right. But we're going to deal with it in a different light than we've ever seen this morning. And what John said in the first chapter number 4 of the book of 1 John, as John is writing this, there is something I want you to notice that he partakes and he makes us known of. He says that love is of God. And then he says, God is love. Now pray for us this morning as we try to preach this message. Help us. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I love you. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for this time to be in your house. And Lord, there's not a doubt in my mind this morning. There's some people here, Father, that needs to hear exactly what you've said on our hearts. And God, I pray for a touch of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I pray that we'd help your children, Lord, as you see fit this morning. God, that you give us the words and the utterance. And God, that you give us the mind of clarity to preach what thus saith the Lord. God, I need your presence to be ever known. Lord, I thank you for the sweet spirit. God, as the choir sang this morning, every song, and Lord, your touch upon this place. God, I'm forever thankful, and Lord, I'm forever grateful this morning of what you've done. And God, we need you this morning. This congregation needs you, and Lord, we need to see a clearer light this morning than we've ever seen before. God, I pray that you would help that one here this morning that may not know your true love, and they may not know, Father, what you care and how you care about them. And Lord, I pray, Father, that we'd look at our neighbors this morning, we could say in the bottom of our heart that we truly love them in the love of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help this, your preacher, in this time and in this hour. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. 1 John chapter number 4 is an interesting piece of scripture this morning. And the first few verses, we see that he tells us to test the spirit. He begins to teach us that everyone that confesses that they're of God is not of God. There are some this morning, my friend, I'm going to be honest with you, I have never heard a day and age that we live in that you hear of preachers getting saved. You hear of church members that's been faithful in the house of God. I was speaking to a lady Thursday evening, and she was telling us that in her church, that two church members that has been faithful to the house of God 30-some years got born again last Sunday. I don't know about you, but that's pretty amazing to me. That to me is absolutely wonderful to know that. And you know what I find out this morning? There are probably more church members hiding in the churches across America that truly need to be born again. They've came to church, they've acted right, they've done right, they've talked right, they've put on the coat, they've done everything they should. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was going to bring two cans of Coke this morning and preach on this message. But the bad thing was, my wife threw one of the cans away that I needed. And so I couldn't use it. And I'll just tell you what happened real quickly. I went by Walgreens. Walgreens had a sale on them, Brother O'Dean. I bought my 12-pack. And when I opened the passenger door on my truck, a 12-pack fell out. Now, a 12-pack of Coke, not Budweiser. Y'all hear what I'm saying, amen? A 12-pack of Coke fell out the door. And the first thing, the women's hollering, amen, men. Can I help you real quickly this morning? Your wife or significant other or not know just on one day a year that you love them. Can I tell you something, women? Your men ought not just know that one day a year you're going to clean up just to go out on a special occasion, and you're going to tell them you love them and put your smelly good stuff on to go out for those couple special times a year. Men need to know their women love them too. All right, men, I'm trying to help you. And can I help you real quickly this morning? God ought to know every day of the year that we love Him. I mean, boy, these people spent money all over this nation. Ann and I went by Walmart last night, and the Valentine's section, there was men, there was women trying to grab every card, every box of chocolate, every flower they could get, every stuffed animal. I mean, it was a mad rush for that one day. Why can't we be like that every day? Why can't we love our significant other every day? Why can't we love our brothers and sisters in the house of God every day of the year? And 1 John is dealing specifically with love. Now, this is one of the greatest verses in the Bible, and John records it here in chapter number 4. He doesn't record it verbatim, but he records John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Boy, that's a bold statement, isn't it? For God, so he didn't say for man so loved the world. He didn't say that the other gods loved the world. He did not say that Allah loved the world. He didn't say father priest loved the world. He said for God. And what he is saying that their love in the world is not made real till God approved it. And he said that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can I tell you real quickly, we're going to deal with some of the aspects of the love of God this morning. I want to help you as a church. I want to help you as a person. I want to help you in your marriage. I want to help you in your relationship. I want to help you in all that you do, because we need it. Can I tell you, there's a generation that is coming on that has threw the word love around so much that it has no meaning. even in my day and age, they were young boys telling girls they loved them to defile the bedroom. Now, don't dry up on me now. Some of you senior saints act like that didn't go around in your days. Don't fool yourself. They are young boys using the word love to make advancement on young girls. And they are young girls that are casting themselves and defiling themselves over some little boy that tells him he loves them, and the next week he hates them. Am I preaching all right? I think this is something that sometimes needs to be dealt with out of the pulpit, don't you? Can I tell you? Relationships and sex relationships are designed for a married couple. Specifically for that day and age. I'm going to be honest with you. I feel sorry for the first little boy that ever comes home with my little daughter. Don't you? Because I'm going to say this. I was a little boy. I remember. And I remember what I'd done. And I remember what I wanted to. I really feel sorry for him. I'll probably have her wrapped up. She'll probably look like one of those Islamic terrorists with a little headband, and the only thing you can see is her eyes when she goes out. I don't want no little boy looking at my daughter. Amen, Timmy. I don't know about you, but I don't want no little boy looking at Kenley like that. And I'll be honest with you this morning. Here's where it really gets bad. It ain't all the boys anymore. It's the little girls. And can I tell you, they've used the word love so much and hate so much that when it comes time for them to get married, it has no meaning. And can I tell you, in our world we're living in right now, there has never been a greater time of racial tension other than the Civil War in the history of the United States. Did y'all hear what I said? There has never been a greater time of racial tensions in the United States other than the Civil War than right now. I think it's wonderful that we have Black History Month. I think that's wonderful. I think it's wonderful we talk about Martin Luther King and the history of the African American people and how they've came. But can I'm going to help you right here real quickly. That all the racist and hate is not on the white man's side. Now I'm going to be honest with you. I love my neighbor. The Bible commands us that we love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all that is thine. But he also says that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And when we think of this, whether they're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Filipino, whatever their race is, if you'll love God and God knowing the love of God, you'll love them regardless of their race. And I'm going to help you real quick right here before we go on with the message. How many of you ever heard that old Baptist phrase, we love the sinner and hate the sin? I'm going to help you real quickly right here. Do you know sometimes, I'm going to help you, listen to me. Do you know sometimes that we can't love the sinner enough to get past the sin to reach the sinner? We love them so much, we'll let them die in it. Do you know this much? I told Brother Robbie this on the phone Thursday evening. I was talking to him. I told him this on the phone. I said, do you know we are the only army in the world that shoots its wounded? How many of y'all agree with that? You say, preacher, I ain't never shot nobody in my life. Use Robert, for instance. He tells me every now and then if I don't get on to him real hard, he thinks I don't love him anymore. So I'm going to love him this morning, all right? If I had seen Robert down here at the store buying a 12-pack, and running around on Miss Sandra, you know what the right thing for me to do would be? Knowing that he's caught up in sin, knowing that he's going that way, knowing that his life is heading in that direction. You know what my first move ought to go to? I ought to go to Robert and say, Robert, you know you shouldn't be doing this. I don't know the circumstances, and I don't need to know the circumstances, but Robert, the best thing for you to do is put all that stuff back and get your life on track. Do you know what the average Christian will do? They'll watch him. And the first thing they do, they get home and they get on the telephone. They're going to say, you ain't going to believe what I seen after church today. There Robert was sitting on the front pew, and he left from the tabernacle and he went straight down here to the Superette, and he stopped in and got a 12-pack, not of Coke, but a Bud Light or Bud Light. And you ain't going to believe this. he was talking to some skanky, glad little woman on the outside, and she got in a truck with him. You know what? Rather than praying for Robert, rather than seeing him in the sin, you know what we're doing? We're just cutting him even deeper. Come on, let me help you real quickly. How many of y'all want y'all sin public? How many of you want your sin to be known? If what you were doing in secret right now was revealed to everybody, every one of us would get shot down real quick. But now let me help y'all real quickly. Robert didn't do that, so I ain't preaching on him this morning. Ain't nobody told me that, Robert, all right? But the right thing would be to do is to tell Robert that you love him. And whatever situation he's in, he's turning to the wrong avenues and he needs to turn to God. Yet we'll go out and blast him to everybody else. And then you know what we do? We're the perfect little ones. We see the preacher sitting there. Preacher, let me tell you what I seen Robert doing. Something needs to be done about it. You need to preach on this.
Right.
No, you know what needed to happen? And rather than coming in and preaching by the arm, you went over here and said, right, let's go pray.
Exactly.
Right.
Now you see, we're going to deal with some subject of love this morning. I just have got through my introduction. That's why I told you we got to hurry. We got to move on with this. We are the only army that will kill and shoot our own wounded. They could have been faithful for 50 years. They've had one mess up. And we butcher them. I mean, we cut them down. I've talked to several people this week and I said, you know what amazes me? I said, we have to be careful with our preachers. Have to be careful with Troy. I'm just going to use him for instance because I was there. Troy ought not be around Ryan's house with Ryan not being home, him missing that. I know they live 2 miles off the road. I know it's back through the woods and the hall. But what if somebody just got turned around and went back there, and there Troy was, and Ryan not home? Whether anything ever happened or not, they would never, ever make that right. Y'all agree? Y'all agree? I mean, in my own lifetime, I found out once people say something, you fight and fight to try to make it right. Ann and I were talking about something this week that happened in another church. And it happened directly to us. It was when we first started dating. And I remember the message clear as day. And we were sitting on the pew and we was talking about, and she said, do you remember that message when preacher such and such preached so hard that wherever you got your, now I'm going to be honest with you, this is exactly what he said. Some of y'all going to go, oh! But he was standing in the pulpit and he said, wherever you got your condoms here, wherever you got all your secrets here, you need to get them out. And I mean, he preached on premarital sex for the whole 45 minutes. Me and Anna looked at each other and we're like, man, somebody getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. Not knowing the whole time he was preaching to me and her. We hadn't done anything. I hadn't bought any of those. Didn't have no plans on using anything like that. But he preached. Some of you said right now, bless God, I wouldn't have never went back to that church. Let me tell you something. That was one of them people that went over there and said, mm-hmm, preacher, I want to tell you something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, preacher, brother.
And went by and whispered in his ear and told him a lie about yay long. And you know how I found out? He didn't call me. He didn't talk to me. About a week or so later, another feller in the church called me. And he said, you know that message the other night? Real proud of him. He said, that was for you and Anna. He said, it's been told in our church is what you're doing. I said, well, I can tell you right now, that ain't happening. I said, but let me tell you something first off. Your church ain't so spiritual like you think it is. Because you'd be able to discern between the truth. You say, preacher, I just wouldn't have never went back. I go back. And you know what that man of God, oh, he just loves to see me now, Brother Bill. was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Glad to see my wife. Glad to see my youngin. But because somebody was trying to shoot the wounded, a lot of people said, I never went back to that church. Why not? You know what? The man of God made a sin and made an error just like you did. He made an issue out of something he didn't even have a clue about. Because somebody came by whispering in his ear. Can I tell you, half the stuff you hear in churches, you better run it through the weed eater and cycle it out, because there ain't but just a few pieces of it real. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. I want you to notice this. He says that love is of God. There ought to be a love in the church. There ought to be hospitableness in the church house. Christians ought to love one another, for this is the commandment of God. Christians ought to care about one another, want to help one another, want to encourage one another. We ought not talk about one another. We ought not gossip about one another. We ought not backbite one another. We ought to be honest and upfront and love people, because we are as guilty as everybody else. My sin is not greater than Odin's sin. Odin's sin is not greater than Robert's sin. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we all need to be loved. You know what I like being part of? A church that loves one another. Had a good time yesterday evening with the senior saints. And I realized this morning that some of you stayed home because it was cold. And I'm going to be honest with you. I thank God you're here this Sunday morning. It is bitterly cold. And I thank God for you being here. But can I tell you something? Preachers mess up. Sunday school teachers mess up. Deacons mess up. Church people mess up. But love them in their mess ups. You know why? God loves you in your mess ups. I'm going to give you a few points and we're going to go to the house. How did God show His love for us? John records that. John 3:16. I'm going to give you some things on God's love and you compare it to your love. Number one, God's love is a sacrificial love. You realize that? God's love is a sacrificial love. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to be out here with most of you men. Unless you're Paul Benton, you can get by with a whole lot. Amen. Don Vestal can get by with a whole lot too. He just acts like he don't hear you and he goes to sleep and don't worry about it. Amen. Ain't that right, Don? Amen. Brother Paul can get by with stuff that I would never imagine. Johnny can get by with stuff too pretty good. Don't let him keep. But you know what? These men, these ladies, and they've been married 30, 40, 50 years. I hope they can get by with that stuff. Troy, I ain't encouraging you to try to get by with nothing. If Joe was here, I'd tell him exactly the same thing. But in a relationship, there has to be sacrifices. There has to be sacrifice. In a marriage, there has to be sacrifices. In a home, to survive, there has to be sacrifices. I mean, Brother Ryan, it kills me during the wintertime to watch all these winter movies. And yesterday, my wife looked at me, and I went out and got firewood and everything. And I came in, and we were sitting there, and she said, "Do you want the controller?" And I went, "Mm-mm." She said, "Well, I'm just going to keep watching Valentine movies then." And you know what I done? I got my phone out. When she left the room, we started watching NASCAR racing. I didn't need the controller, but there has to be sacrifices in a marriage. It's not all about you. It's not all about what you want. It's not all about what you desire. Can I tell you real quickly? It was God's hardest decision was to allow His Son to come and die on a cross of Calvary. That was a sacrifice that man had never seen before. He was willing to die Himself because He loved you, because He wanted fellowship with you, because He wanted to nourish you, because He wanted to walk with you. He was willing to sacrifice Himself for you. The Bible then says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, I think it is, real quickly off the top of my head, but it says, "Husband, love your wives as Christ loves the church and gave Himself for it." Can I help you real quickly right here? It's the husband's job to give himself for his wife. One of the first questions I ask the male when we're talking about getting, they're wanting to talk about getting married. They're wanting to talk about getting a union. I had a young lady the other day. She asked me, she said, "What's your requirements to do a marriage?" I sent them to the church website, told her my phone number was on there. Give me a call. We would talk when I wasn't on the clock and she wasn't on the clock. And I'd go through it. Guess what? She ain't called. Marriage is serious. Marriage is serious. And it requires sacrifice. One of the questions, and I'll get right back to it. I first asked them is, if a man came to you going to kill your wife, would you step in the way?
Yes.
I don't care how mean she's been. I don't care how selfish she's been. I don't care how unruly she's been. You say, oh, preacher, I'm going to start using that verse out of the Proverbs. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than in a house with an angry and contentious woman. That's the reason you get to go deer hunting. No, that's what I like to pick about. But even on my wife's worst days, and men, on your wife's worst days, if somebody come to harm her, you should step in the place. I know you work on a job, and men come into work, and they say, the old lady this, and the old lady that, and the old hag, and all. You know what? That's disrespectful. That's your wife. I've heard some men down there at the work that call her ugly names. You know what? I bet they wouldn't if their wife was there. But you know what? We as men, when you hear somebody talking about their wife in such a way, you should say, stop. That's your wife. That's what God gave you. Thank God for your wife. We all have rough spats. I realize that. We all don't get along. You know what I find out in church? Nobody gets along. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too dry. It's too sweet. Preacher's too loud. Preacher's too quiet. Preacher's too long. Preacher's too short. We can't make anybody happy. I realize that. And you know what I do? I just like Wednesday night, I said, I'm going to church for the Lord. Regardless of what anybody else does, I'm going for the Lord. But a man must show a sacrificial love to his wife. Women, you've got to sacrifice to your man. You are to serve her or she is to serve the man with a godly reverence. Not as overpowering, not as overburdening, but submitting herself as she would to God. And men, you're not to take authority over that and abuse her. Can I help you right quick? A woman that fears her man doesn't love her man. Because John said, fear is terror. God's love is a sacrificial love. Not only in the marriage, God's love or to be sacrificial in the church. Boy, y'all going to like this point. See, we got 4 points and we got sub-points. Sometimes in church, we got to sacrifice what we want for the good of the church. What we desire. What we think is right. How many churches have you heard they split up over the color carpet? Ty, I'm asking you, not everybody. How many of you have heard? A bunch? Ty, you're 16. You've already heard of a bunch. Let me ask you, some of you senior adults. How many of you have ever heard of the church splitting over a color of carpet? Probably couldn't count them all. Couldn't count them. I was talking to a man. He was talking about the same situation at their church going on right now. Can't decide on this. Can't decide on that. Can't decide. You know what? This isn't our church. You know what? If we decided that it was the Lord's will to pull up all the carpet and leave OSB board out there, guess what, Brother Ryan? We better do it. Regardless what anybody else says, if we are to put OSB board down, remove all the carpet, Ty, that's what God said. Some would say, well, I think we need red. Let me be honest with you. The Lutheran church, every one of them has a red door. How many Baptist churches you go in has red carpet? Be honest, a bunch. I like green. Nobody else has a church that looks like ours. I like it. We're different. Guess what? God said that the love of God is in you. You're different than the world. You're different than the ordinary. You're different than everybody else. And there's got to be sacrifices in the house of God to let us be different than every other church. Not only is God's love sacrificing, God's love is an endless love. If you look at Luke, the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter number 15, you'll read a story of a prodigal son, verses 11 through 32. You'll read the story of a prodigal son. And I think in the bottom of my heart, Jesus was telling this parable, not to tell of how a father should love his child, but how God loves his children. How demanding we are on God. God, answer this prayer. If you'll answer this prayer, I'll do this. We dealt with vows on this past Wednesday night, our Psalm 61, dealing with doing our daily vows, things we've promised God. Bring them back to remembrance. You know what? A lot of us sin and we forget about it. Doing our daily vows. doing what we're called to do. But this prodigal son, he demanded of the father his inheritance at a young age. And you know what's even more amazing when I study that story? Is he went out and spent all that he had. That's what Jesus records. He spent all that he had on riotous living. And you start studying that story. Guess what, Robbie? He didn't spend all that he had. He spent all that his father had. He didn't have that. That wasn't his. That wasn't what he worked for. You know what? Let's be honest. Troy, Carrie, y'all still young. Ty, you're still young. Kenley, Dylan, Thomas. It's easy to spend daddy's money, ain't it?
He's good at it, too.
Daddy, I sure would like this. Ty, have you ever told that to Timmy? Has he ever said that to Tim? Tim's nodding real big. Blake, has the girls ever said, Daddy, I'd really like this? You know what, as children, oh, he don't trust me. He done grinned. He done thinking about what he wants right now. Kenley, you ever spent mama's money? Boy, it's easy spending mom and daddy's money, ain't it? Let me tell you something. When you're having to work and pay the mortgage and pay the car bill and the phone bill and the house bill, light bill and the cable bill and all that, you don't spend as much as you did when you was back at home. And this young man spent all that he had that his daddy had given him. He spent his daddy's money. His party. Now, some of you parents right there, it'd be enough for you to black sheep that child. They're out of the family. Psst, done. Kicked out. Never have nothing to do with them. But you know what? I believe that father in Luke chapter 15 prayed for his son every day. Not only I believe he prayed for him, I believe he looked for him, Brother Gwen, every day. I believe he stood afar off and was looking for that son to come home. And you know what he done, Robbie, when he came home? He didn't lecture him. He didn't beat him up. He didn't let me get my belt and we're going to set up. No, he didn't do that. You know what he done? He hugged him. And he kissed him. He said, go get the robe. Put the ring on his finger. He said, better yet than that, go out there and kill the fatted calf. For this my son who is dead and is now alive. You know what he showed through that? God showed, you know what? No matter what you do, no matter how far you get, no matter how many times you hurt me, no matter how many times you sin against me, I'm still going to love you. Think some of you need to hear that this morning. God still loves you. God still cares about you. God still wants to fellowship with you. Some of you say, preacher, I'm old. I can't do the things I once did. God still loves the saints. God still loves the young people. God still loves our youth. And what we must realize this morning is what the Apostle Paul was writing. I want you to notice this. We're moving real quickly this morning. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8, if you'll turn and go with me there real quickly this morning. Romans chapter number 8. Notice what he says in verse number 35 through verse 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or a sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what he says? He says, I love you no matter what. You see this one easy in the church house. It's easy. We love those who we like. I'm going to say something to you. Everybody sitting here, want you to hear what I got to say. I love you in a godly love. You know what? I had a good time yesterday with the senior saints. I'm going to be honest with you. We had a good time. We had to apologize to some of them because they had some extra tables and chairs set up there. When me and my wife and youngin come in, we just going to spread out. What room you ain't took, you losing, we're taking. Ain't that right? I mean, you got a car seat, diaper bag, you got a youngin', you got toys, you got diapers, you got wipes, you got... They stuff in that diaper bag, I don't even know what it's for or how it works. But we're going to take up whatever room's left. And you know what? There was a good fellowship. they made a mention. They said, well, we wish these were here. This, Brother Johnny, it was cold yesterday. I realize that. You know, Miss Lily stated. And you know what? It ain't fussing at you or anything, but I'm going to tell you this. Everybody missed a blessing. But you know what encouraged me even more? There was two men talking about the young Sunday school class. They said, we ain't got to cook. We just go ahead and go on out to eat like the rest of them do. Sounds good. When we going? I'm all for it. But you know what? Fellowship is good in the house of God. You know what? This morning I could hear y'all fellowshipping and talking and loving on one another and asking how this has been, how that's been, and everything going on. That's special. That's special. You know what? You are to love Brother Robert just as much as you love Odin. You are to be able to socialize Paul just as much as you would Brother Bill. And you are to be able to fellowship Brother Bill just as much as you would Dad or Scott or Tony or Tom or Gwen or Miss Eula. You are to be able to fellowship with everybody in here. Now I realize there are those that come into church sometimes and you ask them how they're doing and they give you the whole life story. And you say, preacher, I just don't want to go fellowship with them because I'm going to hear all about it. No, you know what you do? You just nod. And you know what you say? I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Or you know what I like doing, Brother Robbie, anymore? When somebody, I ask them how they're doing, and boy, they start with the kids that's done this, and they've been sick, and then they're going on, and their job, and the home, it's stressful, and the car, it tore up. Poor old Ty went on a date last night, couldn't even crank his truck. That was bad. Be honest with you, that was bad, bad, bad for Valentine's Day. What was even worse, he took her to Speedy Chef to start with, but she was happy, wasn't she? Yeah, see? Amen. But he couldn't even get the truck cranked. You know what? If I was Kenley, I'd have kicked him out and made him walk on. But you know what? He go out, his truck doesn't crank. That was bad. It was cold last night. Bad time for it not to crank. Boy, a lot of us let that steal our joy. A lot of that let us get us defeated. But you know what I like to say? Ty, when it's all bad like that, just say, God's still good. God's still good. You know what? He's given me the grace to go through this. He's given me the love that even when I mess up, He still loves me. He still cares about me. He's still wanting to fellowship with me. You know what? If we could get beyond that with everybody around us and quit looking at everybody's faults, everybody's problems, everybody's sin, and just say, I love you and I'm going to be good to you anyways. What would it do to our church? Husbands, if you could get by what your wife hadn't done and say, I'm going to love you for what you ain't done and what you done anyways, what would that do for your marriage? Wouldn't it? You know, instead of keep changing everybody, instead of keep trying to change God, why don't we just love Him for being God? Whether He ever answered a prayer or not, why don't we just love Him anyways? Why don't we just thank Him anyways? Just because things didn't go the way we thought they should go, why don't we just love Him anyways? Notice what else. I'm done. He's got an endless love. He's got a sacrificial love. But God's love is a catching love. Did y'all get what I said? It's a catching love. I've seen something happen at work this week. I've seen it happen a couple of times. And I finally had to tell them, you can't be setting anybody else on fire at work. We got a new guy. We call him the rookie. He's new. He ain't been in the shop very long. And we got a lot coming up. We got to make 20,000 parts, handmade parts, 20,000 parts by May. It's going to be a lot of hours. It's going to be a lot of split shifts. A lot of heartaches. But not only do we got to make those 20,000, we got 50,000 automotive parts that's coming in that's that big by that big. That's out of aluminized steel. And so they've not had all this work, Brother Bill, going on, but they've been playing. And I got an older man, he's in his 50s, and this young guy, he ain't but 22, and they give each other grief. I mean, they do. They pick, they cut up, just like we do at church. And we got denatured alcohol, which is camp stove fuel. That's what we use to clean the parts, get all the oil off of them, so when they go in your car, they're clean, there's no oil there, so when the heat hits them, the shield will not catch on fire. We have to clean every part. Well, little rookie was standing there the other day. He was working on a Mercedes part and had to put it on the fixture and was beating him with his hammer, folding the hem over. And I was sitting at my computer at my desk, and I had my back to them. I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. I was doing a lot of paperwork. I've got evaluations going on. I had a customer coming in from Michigan Friday. I was preparing for him. He's supplying a tool for us, and I had all that going on, thinking about that Friday. And I just so happened to look over Blake, and about that time, I seen that little fella beating, and he threw his hammer way up in the air, and he screamed, "I'm on fire," and took off running across the shop. You say, what happened? The old man, Timmy, got up behind him. He didn't know. He was praying around his feet a circle of denatured alcohol. Spraying. He took a torch and lit it. I didn't know this had been going on for about 3 minutes, and that little fella standing there beating and the fire getting bigger around him. But all of a sudden, he felt heat. And he took out of there. What was so funny? The old man didn't know what's going to happen to him. He's like one of them that likes to dish it out, but he don't like to take it. And I done told him, I said, look, y'all going to have to quit picking on each other. You're going to make one another mad, and we're going to have family problems right here in the shop between the five of you. He slipped around while the old man was working. He sprayed it up under his little rolly chair. You know who showed him how to do that? And I showed him. I said, now you got to be specific when you do this. I said, he dished it out. He's getting it back. I said, but you get around the corner and you spray. And I said, then you spray your line back to where you're sitting. That way you ain't got to be close to him. And I said, he'll light and he'll run. He said, you sure? I said, I promise you. And I was over at the press. Maintenance was working on one of our presses and was talking. And I seen him hung out behind the bend. He ain't but about this tall anyways. I seen him hung out behind that bend and spray. And I seen him do his line. And about that time I heard, woof, and I seen it come. Old man was sitting there in his rolly chair and the whole bottom of it on fire, and he didn't even know it. About 3 minutes, he jumped up. I'm on fire! I'm on fire! Took off running. You know what? That fire caught real quick. It caught one. It caught two. Thursday evening, I was telling him, I said, look, y'all give each other a hard time. Technically, the company could fire y'all for this. Y'all better be thank God there ain't a camera in here. I said, y'all been mean to each other. I put you up getting him back. I said, but listen, we got to call it even. I said, y'all don't need to be setting each other on fire. Y'all don't need to be hurting each other. We got a customer coming in tomorrow that's supplying a tool. He's never been there. And I said, I want y'all to be very professional. I said, okay. But you know what? I said all that to say this. Don't do something to somebody if you don't want them to do back to you. Don't give somebody in the church a hard time if you don't want them to pick back at you. And if you get God in your heart, you're going to love them anyways. And you know what happens? If one of you falls in love with God and falls in love with what He is and falls in love with what He does, it'll be just like that fire, Brother Paul. It'll catch on to the next. And then that one will catch on to the next one. And that fire will just keep running, Brother Ryan. It'll be like a trail of denatured alcohol running to the next one sitting in a pew. And they'll get on fire. And then the next one will get on fire. And the next one will get on fire. I think it'd do our church good if we caught on fire, don't you? It's kind of catching. Somebody starts standing up testifying how good God's been. Through all the problems. Through all the heartaches they've been. Through all the issues. They've went through. They start telling about how good God's been. How the mercy of God. How God's loved them no matter what. How God's always been there. How He's been that strong hand in the middle of the night. How He's been that touch when nobody else cared. You know what will happen? Somebody back here on the back pew, it'll catch on them. They won't tell how good God's been. But I promise you this. If you'll find somebody in this church today and just say, I want to tell you, I love you in a godly love. And I'm praying for you. You know why I love you in a godly love? Because God loves me. And because God loves me, I can't help but love you. John told us there, if a man hates his brother, the love of God's not in him. How many times you've heard somebody say, I hate them. I just hate them. How can you say you're of God and you hate people? Ty, you probably hear a lot. Carrie, you probably hear it a lot at school. I just hate them. I just can't stand them. You know what? There's a difference between can't stand and hate. There's a lot of people, I see them in Walmart. I'll be honest with you, they're worldly people. And they start coming toward me, I go, whew. A gentleman used to come to this church. He ain't going to change his ways. He left early in my ministry here. I have had to sit in the parking lot and not get out. Because he didn't want to talk to me. He just won't come jump on me. You know what? I love him anyways. I love him. But until he lets God love him, until he gets right with God and falls in love with God, Brother Robbie, I ain't going to keep getting out and getting beat with a big old stick. I just ain't doing it. If I went to my daddy's house and every time I went there, he was whacking me with a baseball bat, I wouldn't go very long. Would you? Thomas, if every time you went home, daddy was beating you with a baseball bat, you wouldn't go home, would you? You'd fear him, wouldn't you? And there's terror and fear. That's not love. But you know what? God loves that man anyways. God loves his girlfriend. They're strung out on drugs, but God loves them. God cares for them. I love them. I want to see them get in the love of God. But you know what? I can't force it. I can't make him. You know what? This morning, I can preach this message that you ought to love one another, that you ought to love God, but I can't force you to do it. I can't force you to fall in love with God this morning. I can't force you to accept that God loves you no matter what and accept that you are in a place where God still cares about you. I cannot make you believe that. You got to believe it yourself. But I promise you this, it's catching.